No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me, along with Captain Dennis. We're going to be your crew today as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. Ed and Keith are off this week once again, and but they have threatened to join us for the 4th of July next week. So we will see how that goes and give them a break, as, you know, it is summer. So we'll find out what they've been doing on their summer vacation next week. However, I'm here to tell you what I've been doing on my summer vacation, which was go to the airport. Dennis, are you impressed?
I am impressed. You finally got out to the airport.
That's right.
Did you get in the pilot seat?
No, I did not get in the pilot
seat. Okay.
But
no,
I was
not
in
as impressed.
I was in a chair on a commercial liner, so that counts for something, doesn't it?
Not really.
Not really? Okay. Well, I'm going to count it. I will tell you, you know, my flight training is still there because I was chair flying, as I often do, and probably most pilots do, when they're in a commercial airliner. You know, I think you just kind of get in that mode where you're always second-guessing the pilot in command of your jet. And sure enough, we took off from Pensacola, and everything was fine, and we landed in L.A., and I'm looking at the approach, and I'm looking out the window, and I'm saying, you know what? It looks like we're coming in too fast, and like we're dropping too quickly. And I'm thinking, we're going to hit. And like the wheels are spinning upstairs. You hear what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, man, we came down and boosh. Everybody's like freaking out. I'm like, I knew it. And I'm like, yes. You know,
you didn't land. You were shot down, right?
Yeah. But you know, everybody else was freaking out. And I'm like going, yes. Hey, I still got it. I called it. I knew we were coming down hard. And they kind of looked at me strangely. But I'm used to that. But, you know, so yeah, I think that's a good thing. I think that deserves a banana or some kind of, you know, inherent aviation, you know, learning thing that has stuck in there. I can just kind of look out the window and see that, you know, we're coming in too fast or dropping too quickly, I should say.
I'd have been more impressed if you had like ForeFlight on your iPad open and you were looking for other airports and kind of trying to navigate that. I'd give you credit for.
No, hell no. That'd be way too much.
Knowing we're going to have a hard landing just because the seat of your pants says you were coming in too hot.
Well, that shows you that I have the, I don't know, situational awareness by looking out the window and the horizon and stuff. Still, some of that stuff is there. You know what I'm saying? That applies.
It's still a stretch, Greg.
Okay.
If it makes you feel better, though, we'll give it to you.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm taking it. Whether you're going to give it to me or not, I'm taking it. But I look at that as chair flying. It just, yeah, every time it happens, every time we're coming in for a landing, I'm looking out the window and I'm thinking, okay, are we looking good? Are we looking good? No, we're dropping too fast. It's going to be a hard landing. Or no, he's going to grease it. And matter of fact, on the way back, I called a greasing. So, you know, so I think some of this stuff is sticking, even though it's been a few years now since I've been actually, you know, a pilot in command. So I'm anxious to get back in the cockpit for sure. And, you know, I had fun doing that. I was going out there for a dive show. Before I went there, I actually took off from Gulf Shores, Alabama, which is an alien hotspot, by the way. Did you know this?
I did, unfortunately.
Because I told you, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, they have like an annual UFO fest. I think it's actually the 4th of July, if I'm not mistaken. But we were out there on the beach, and I was looking for aliens, as I do. And didn't see any. However, the military was. They flew up and down the beach several times. I figured they were looking for flying saucers and people being abducted and stuff. But, you know, it was funny. All this aviation talk, going to the air shows, I mean, it is registering with me because We were sitting by the pool right there on the beach in our beach house, and I hear this rumble of helicopters, and I'm like, you know, they got the planes going up and down the beach with the flags all afternoon, right, as they do at any beach across the country.
The banner towing, you mean?
Yeah, the banner towing guys. And they're purposely loud to get people's attention and, you know, look up and like, hey, oysters, $9.99, you know, that kind of thing.
Hey, vote for me.
Right. But I heard this different sound, and I'm like, whoa, and I don't see anything. I said, that's military. And sure enough, you know, a few seconds later, here come the, you know, like, what are the Hawks? The
Blackhawks.
Blackhawks, yeah. A couple Blackhawks came cruising down the beach, and they were loud. But I knew before I saw them that that was military, because I've heard them at Sun and Fun and Air Venture. So,
well, and it's not surprising. I mean, there's quite a few military bases along that Gulf Shore. I mean, you've got Pensacola Naval Air Station, which
right.
is where all of the naval aviators are trained.
And I'm
you've
assuming
got,
it
Tyndall
was
Air Force Base
yeah.
and Hurlburt Field, which has got all of the special forces stuff that the Air Force does. Mm-hmm. So there's
so they
quite
were,
a bit of cool things to see.
Those helicopter pilots were either doing training or they were just looking at all the hot chicks on the beach.
Probably a little of both.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's like, you know.
I'm sure the door gunner had a set of binoculars and the door slid back.
Right. Or they're looking for, you know, sharks in the water and like, oh, those poor beachgoers are going to be eaten. Hey, alien, 9 o'clock, pay attention. You know. So it was fun. But, you know, even on vacation, my head is still in the game when it comes to learning to fly and all this chat about airplanes.
Well, now we got to get the rest of your body in the game.
Yeah,
so.
Well, you know, what the mind does, the body follows. That's what we're going to go with for now. That's some saying I heard years ago. And, you know, hopefully that'll take place in this instance. I do have some plans, and I did have some very interesting meetings along the way, mostly, you know, dive related, but everybody was asking me, hey, you flying? One of my diving friends out there when I was in California at the dive show, he's a pilot. And he you know, he's like, he doesn't ask me dive questions. He wants to know if I've got my pilot's license because he's a pilot as well. And he flies all around the Keys and keeping his operation in check and stuff. So he's anxious for me to get my pilot's license so we can do some, you know, flying to some remote places and do some diving.
And see, now, if there was ever an incentive, that's it for
that
you,
is.
Craig.
Well, me and you are doing that. That is our plan. That's our ultimate plan.
That is
plan,
still the plan.
To get your Mooney out here in, you know, in Florida lands, out of the great white north of Minnesota where you're based, and bring it down here and do some diving and stuff. Now, you know, but at the end of the month, we got Florida lobster spiny lobster season.
And we got Oshkosh. So
and we got Oshkosh. So
it's tough. You know, I want to do both, but I can't.
Well,
so I'm
go
gonna
to
have
Oshkosh.
To pick one.
You'll go to Oshkosh. Get that out of the way. And then Florida spiny lobster season will be open. And then you can fly down here to Florida and we can go catch you some bugs. And then you can fly a couple home to your missus.
There we go. Bring
you
know, a Yeti cooler and some ice and bring
that's
back
right.
some fresh pills.
She would be pretty excited about that, wouldn't she?
Probably. She wouldn't even know that we had to go to Publix to get them.
No, that's a lie.
Oh, I thought that's how you catch them.
No, that's a lie that you don't want to share with anyone else, except, you know, you
that's
and I,
secret.
If we don't catch any.
Okay.
That's our backup plan.
We're going to guarantee to limit out, right?
Right. Yes. So, anyway, you know, the thing is about having a mission is, you know, if you put that in front of you, once again, it'll give you that extra incentive to get her done. So,
okay, so we need to get a mission in front of you, don't we?
Well, that's the mission. That way I just illustrated it for everyone. That's what we hope to do. And that will entice me to want to get my pilot's license as well by watching you fly me catch a lobster. But, you know, baby steps, Dennis. Baby steps.
Well, we have a book for you, don't we?
We do. Yeah, The Little Plane That Could. What is it? It's sitting on the desk over here again. What is that?
The Little Plane in Wally Acres Flight School.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Doug, one of our listeners, was nice enough to send me a personalized kiddie book where I'm a plane. I don't know if that was a very good incentive as much as it was just amusing. You know what I mean? But well, I'll take whatever.
Whatever works.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever works. You take and make the most of it. All right. So we got that. What I did on summer vacation, a lot more to cover. We got some cool news. Of course, we have some drone stuff we have to cover. Do we not, Dennis?
Oh, of course we do.
Yeah, you were
it
keeping track of
this. It wouldn't be a show without it.
Yeah, he was keeping track of this while I was traveling, and he came up with a doozy that we got to do. And plus, not only that about the drones, we have a cool little clip that Dennis was out at an airport with gliders in Stanton. You know, Stanton, Ohio, famous for The Office.
Nope.
Isn't that where?
No. Oh, Stanton Airfield in Northfield, Minnesota.
Oh, see, I was on vacation. I wasn't paying attention. I just heard Stanton, and I thought you were talking about The Office. And, you know, I was like, yeah, you got my attention. Well, that's something else. We'll find out what it is together on Just Plain Radio. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Need to replace that old Garmin? Need a new GPS for your plane? No matter what you fly, Avidyne has you covered. Since 1994, Avidyne's been a market leader in the design of intuitive displays in avionics. The mission has always been to use innovative technology to improve safety and increase aircraft utility. Go to Avidyne.com to find a dealer in the solution for you. That's Avidyne.com or call 1-800-AVIDYNE. Avidyne. For pilots that know the difference.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
About this time, someone is telling you to get on the plane. Get on the plane, get on the plane. I say, you, I'm getting in the plane. In the plane. Let Evel Knievel get on the plane. I'll be in here with you folks in uniform.
I be flying high, yeah, I be flying high. Shawty, I be flying high, yeah, I be flying high. Shawty, I be flying high. It take long to get this fly. If you ain't up on my level, disappear, please don't reply. Bye.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me along, Captain Dennis. We are navigating the latest aviation news and information. And then some stuff about drones and things as well. Also, coming up, Dennis was at Stanton Airport. And where? It wasn't the home of the office? Where?
No, Northfield, Minnesota. It's just just southeast of Minneapolis.
All right. See, I was so excited. I thought you were going to interview Michael Scott or something, but you just...
No Dunder Mifflin for you.
All
today,
right.
Sorry.
So you ran into the folks that were running this airport. They're doing some kind of glider thing, and you recorded a little segment with someone on site. Is that right?
That is right.
Okay. Well, we will share that with the world here coming up in just a bit. But let's talk about some news. Let's talk about some stuff that aviators might find of interest.
Or Greg would find of interest.
Okay, well then let's start with me. And so we got to catch up on the drone news first then. Because you sent me this video, and I was like, whoa, that is so cool. I want one, you know, take my money now kind of thing. But this was actually a, was it a fire division of a city or something? I think it was a utility.
It was they were doing maintenance on a power line. You know, things fly, get blown through by the wind. You know, you have Mylar balloons that land and get wound up on power lines, or
tennis shoes.
You know, tennis shoes, big piece of plastic, you know, from a farm field or something gets blown and caught in the lines.
Yeah.
And somebody's got to get that stuff out of there. Well, you either have to shut down the power line, or you got to, you know, have a specially equipped lineman go up on there to clean that debris. Somebody got the bright idea to attach a flamethrower to a drone and fly it up and burn it off the lines.
That is so cool. I love it. What were they burning like off on that video? Do you remember?
I don't know. It looked like a piece of plastic sheet or something that got, you know, caught up on the lines. You know, yeah. Like the plastic that the farmers put over their fields to keep the weeds down and things like that.
Something got caught up in the wind, got over the power lines, and they took a drone up there and burned it off the wires.
The first thing that I thought of, though, when I saw that was flashbacks to the Terminator. This looked like, you know, the future with the drones shooting and flames flying, and oh boy,
that'd be like the ultimate toy. You know, have
could
a
torment
drone.
Your neighbor's cat with that, right?
Oh my gosh, you could have so much fun with a flamethrower drone, and
honey,
you know,
it'd probably, like the grill.
Yeah, and it would just be like an attachment. You either have a GoPro on there, or you know what? Let's have some fun. Let's plug the flamethrower on it this time, boys.
Does it have to be either or? I mean, I could see the flamethrower and the GoPro would be a great combination.
Exactly, you do. You want to capture that point of view for sure. But even shooting it from far away, like they were doing for this, was impressive. You know, down there in South Florida, it's some South American thing where they throw their tennis shoes up on the power lines. There's some significance to it. I don't know.
I think it's a gangs marking the territory.
Is that what? Maybe it is. But I'm like, if they started, you know, running drones with fire, you know, flamethrowers off of them around there, I bet they'd stop that tradition pretty quickly.
I would imagine. Take the neighborhoods back one
or it might encourage it. Wait, I take that back. It'd probably encourage it because you'd want to see this. Hey, throw your shoes up there. About 30 Watch. Minutes, we're going to get a cool show, man. Better than any fireworks display you could imagine. Yeah. But, Google it. Flame-throwing drone. I'm sure it'd pop right up on YouTube like that, wouldn't it, Dennis?
Yep, it's out there.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, so I want one. But I have a feeling they're not for sale anytime soon.
So, no, and I have a feeling you're going to get a little talking to from the neighborhood police department if you start flying that around.
Well, if you're going to start, you know, trying to burn stuff off of telephone pole wires, I would find a different way to use your flame-throwing drone.
Maybe on 4th of July for, you know, to light up the neighborhood as a special effect or something.
I'll tell you what, they probably will replace fireworks someday, don't you think? They already are in some way.
Disney did with that, or you know, the orchestrated thing that they were doing last year, I think it was.
You know,
put 1,000 drones up and have them do an air show. That'd be pretty slick.
Yeah, they did these 3D designs of like Christmas trees. I mean, I saw it. It was impressive. I forget how many drones it was, a couple hundred or several hundred, and they all coordinated to put on this light show, and it looked like stars that all of a sudden formed into some 3D design. It was pretty spectacular to see.
And think about how environmentally sensitive that, or safe that is, instead of all the fireworks and explosions and dirt and debris. So
you got to worry about, you know, droughts and things and setting the, you know, forests on fire and stuff. Like if you did it with drones, you don't necessarily have that problem, unless, you know, you're incorporating flamethrower drones into your display, which would pretty much have to happen at some point. I mean, just like, you know, the nighttime shows at Air Venture or Sun and Fun. I mean, they shoot fireworks off the wings of these airplanes. I remember the first time I saw that, I thought, what the hell is going on? I didn't think you were supposed to combine those two elements. Fireworks
and
airplanes. Yeah,
you would think that the avgas and fireworks is a bad combination, but it's pretty impressive.
Oh, it looks amazing. And but I got to say, I was taken aback when I first saw that. I was like, this can't be very safe, can it? But they obviously know what they're doing.
What kind of waiver do you need for that from the FAA? How much paperwork needs to be signed before you can do that?
Yeah, I'm guessing there's not a waiver that you can sign to protect anyone from that. You just got to say, hey, who wants to do it? Hey, look, get Crazy Eddie.
Get her done.
Yeah, or something. He'll do it. He does it all the time just to entertain himself on a Friday night. Might as well let other people see it, too. But, you know, I love it. I do appreciate the fact that other people are willing to risk their life purely for the entertainment of others. That's, you know, it gives us, an incentive not to do those things. You know what I mean? But you still enjoy seeing
them. Let somebody else do it.
Exactly. You just got to be the smarter person to just like, I think it's the coolest thing on the planet, but I'd never do it.
I'm going to grab my lawn chair and a beer and sit back and watch.
Exactly. Enjoy the show. Yeah. So, you know, whether they use drones or it's people, you know, fireworks and fire flames, you know, there's a little bit of pyromaniac in all of us. Maybe. I don't know. I think that kind of goes back to, you know, just seeing all the pretty lights. We're easily amused. In that way.
Ooh, look, shiny,
yeah.
Sparkly.
Yeah. All right, the other thing we have is some news from the FAA is allowing simulators, more simulator time to apply to your flight training. Is that right?
Right. If you want to get your instrument or you have your instrument rating, you're required to fly 6 instrument approaches every 6 months in order to stay current. You know, there's
too expensive. You
know, well, and not just a matter of finding the time to go do it.
But now we can do it in a sim, which will allow us.
And it counts for the same 6 months, which it didn't used to.
Way less money. So that's
and
a win.
And you don't have to have an instructor with you.
There you go. Hey, look, Dennis, segment that he recorded, and Stanton next. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
Welcome back. This is Captain Dennis, and I'm down here at the Stanton Airport in central Minnesota. It's a Saturday afternoon, and we're down here because they are conducting a ground school session for learning how to fly gliders. It's really refreshing to see 10 students sitting in a classroom on a Saturday afternoon going over all the things that are necessary to learn how to safely solo a glider. But I'm also joined today by George, the president of the Minnesota Soaring Club, which my daughter's a member of, which is kind of explains why I'm down here today. Why Stanton? Why the gliding club?
Well, the club was formed in 1959, so that was way before my time. But it was just a group of people that wanted to get into flying gliders, and so they started up their club.
So how many airplanes are in the club? How many members? What kind of activities go on besides, you know, just going out and flying?
Well, the club has 3 gliders. We have two-place gliders. We have a Schleicher ASK-21, SZD-50-3, which is we refer to as the OWL. They're both two-seaters. And we also have a single seat. It's an SZD-51-1, which is a single seat, and we call that one the Junior. And we also have a Super Cub that we tow with, 160 horsepower. In addition to those, we also have a number of members that own their own gliders.
So in addition to the club's own airplane, Stanton also has a pretty active glider community with a Civil Air Patrol detachment, and they have tow plane operations as well. And so you come down here on any Saturday or Sunday, and you know it's pretty darn busy. Do we have any problems with powered aircraft and interaction between the gliders?
No, not really. You know, it's like any airport. You have to be situationally aware of what's going on in the pattern while you're up in the air.
Well, the Stanton Airport is actually just a beautiful venue. It's fairly historic. It's been around since World War II, I believe.
Yeah, they did some training here in World War II. It used to be called the Carlton Airport, and it's on the National Historic Register. And like you said, there's not too many places left where you can come to a grass airport. You can see a lot of different airplanes. We have a lot of tail draggers here. We have the gliders, a lot of historic stuff. You know, a lot of airports now, you got to have a passcode and get through the gate, and, you know, it's all fenced in. This is totally opposite. There's no fences here. Everyone's very welcoming, and this is a great place to spend some time if you're interested in aviation.
So if you want to find out more about the Minnesota Soaring Club or gliding in general, where can they go to get more information?
Our website is mnsoaringclub.com. mnsoaringclub@gmail.com. And if you want more information, you can email me at mnsoaringclub@gmail.com.
George, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. And we look forward to seeing you down at the field all summer.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up. You want to hit back? We're going to have to wingsuit in. It's the only way to get close. I can't promise anyone a ride home, but if you're with me, the world needs you now.
But I can fly.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me, Loa, Captain Dennis, and his daughter, Abby, is with us now as well. She went through that glider school thing at Stanton Airport. And once again, it was up in Minnesota someplace, but it's Stanton Airport.
Northfield.
Northfield. Okay, we'll go with that. And, you know, that guy sounded pretty interesting. It sounded like a cool thing, but I wanted to talk to Abby. Because she actually went through the program. So Abby is with us. Abby, how are you? And welcome.
I'm doing good.
So how was this gliding thing that you were doing there in Stanton? Was it pretty happening or what?
Yeah, it was really good to go through because the first time I actually failed the test, but that's because I studied the wrong book. So it was nice to have a class on it to prepare for my test.
Okay, you studied the wrong book. How did you manage to do that?
So the way that the Stanton Glider, or the Minnesota Soaring Club, they require all of their students before solo to take a formal written test, and you have to get an 80% or a higher. And they didn't really tell her exactly what to study. So she was studying more on the aircraft manual, but they also wanted to go in a lot of the airspace requirements so that the students understood what what kind of things are around them, because they're on the edge of the Minneapolis airspace, and so you got to be careful that you don't go too far north and things like that, and stay below certain altitudes. And so they actually had a formal class for I think we had 10 students in attendance there that are all
15.
All at a point that they are getting close to soloing in their gliders.
Yeah. And Abby, you're how old again?
I'm 15.
15. Wow. And you're almost ready to solo.
That's the hope.
That is the hope. So what did you do as part of this class exactly? I mean, was it just instruction, or were you in the plane flying around and stuff?
No, it was just a ground school. It was 5 hours just going over basically everything that possibly could be on the test, so we'd be ready for it this time.
Right. But the book that you studied, which was which one?
Glider manual. I thought I was being quizzed on like my plane and knowing like what it is and how to like fly it, and they wanted me to like, that was like one of the things I needed to know, how to fly my plane, but I also needed to know like airspace questions and stuff.
Right. It's like we want you to know where you can go first before you can actually fly a plane, kind of thing. Right.
Yep. You got to be aware of what's around you, you know. Yeah.
So what kind of obstacles do you have to keep in mind? I mean, is there military-based stuff or anything like that around that you got to stay out of, or what?
We got to stay out of other planes' way because sometimes they don't see us because we're, like, so slim. Like, it's even hard for us to see other gliders in the air because we're just really small, made to glide fast. So some planes don't see us, so we kind of have to be aware of other planes around us, too, even though they have to look out for us because we technically have the right-of-way at points.
But when a 737 is bearing down at you at 400 miles an hour, right-of-way doesn't really matter, right?
They automatically have the right-of-way because they're just going to fly right through you.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. How high are you going up there before they release the cable from the Cub or whatever?
Depends on what we want to do. I usually do about 3,000 foot tow, but when I did spin training, we did about 6,000 feet tow.
And the higher you go, the longer you're going to fly. Am I right? Or does it just depend on the wind?
Well, if you have lift, you can follow that, which is rising air will help you bring you up. But then if there's rising air, there's going to be sinking air, which isn't fun because you start going down about 400 feet a minute. And you're like, oh, my God, I get back to the airport.
Yeah. That, okay, explain that a little bit. Because, so, we would have rising air. So, if you were let go of the cable on your glider at 3,000 feet, and you would know there was rising air in the area because of reports and stuff, or you would just kind of come across it, or what?
Well, we have an instrument. I forgot what it's called.
The variometer.
Yeah, our variometer, and it tells us how many feet we're sinking per minute and how much we're rising. So if we see that variometer go up, we are automatically turning into a steep bank turn and trying to keep with that lift to get up, because that's the whole point of soaring. It's not flying, it's soaring. Mm-hmm. You're trying to catch lift like you would a plane.
Okay.
A bird, sorry.
but you don't know it till you get up there. It isn't like, hey, yeah, we got a bunch of uplift going here, or is
but
it?
But there are signs. Yeah. You know, they go and look for, you know, clouds. If they see nice little puffy clouds, they'll start heading over to those, because generally there'll be lift underneath those clouds, and they'll circle up. They'll also look for the birds.
Yep, I found a birds that were soaring above us, and my instructor kind of took the wheel from me and just went into a super steep bank, and we went up about 1,000 feet in 2 minutes.
Okay, so let me get this straight. As a glider pilot, you actually look for birds and try to go towards them.
Yes.
Unlike a general aviator and a piston-powered airplane, we try to avoid them at all costs. Is that right?
Correct.
Wow.
Very accurate.
So you don't have to worry about bird strikes and things in a glider, really?
You do, but, you know. See and avoid.
We don't have a prop, so...
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, well, okay. Well, yeah, but you could still whack them good, couldn't you, if the one swam, you know, flew in? But you'd be soaring with them. You'd be in, like, in line with the bird, maybe, I would assume, wouldn't you? If you're on the same, you know, air current or whatever. But you're saying when you're trying to catch these lifting currents, air currents, there's a correspondent down current nearby, or
what goes up must come down.
Right.
When we're thermaling, it's one of the hardest things. It's not just going in circles. You have to stay in it, because outside of it, there's sinking air that's trying to push you out, because it doesn't want you to rise. It wants you to go into the sinking air. So that's one of the things I'm learning how to do right now, is thermal and trying to stay in the thermal, because I'm having problems where I drift out and then we're into sinking air.
Huh. So I got a picture in my mind that it's like a mountain cliff. So you're trying to circle the mountain. Does that make sense? And then downside, like if you get off the mountain, you're going to fall. Hey!
It's kind of like a water spout. If you were to take a garden hose and point it straight up, as long as you're in the stream of water, you're going up. But when it tops out, it's kind of like the little mushroom splash pad, that water's coming down on the sides of that.
Right.
And so you want to try to avoid it. She has actually had a lesson with an instructor where they were up over an hour in the glider on one toe. Normally, it's about a 20-minute ride. They'll go up to 3,000 feet and fly around and, you know, slowly losing a couple hundred feet a minute until they have to return. And so it's usually a 20-minute ride if there's no lift. But some of the club members last weekend, it stretched out to two-hour rides on a single toe.
One of my instructors hit 8 hours, but that's because he had to go to the bathroom.
He hit how long?
8 hours in a glider.
Wow. So he caught lift and then went up how high, you figure?
Well, you don't have to go up to that certain height. You can catch lift, then you go to the next cloud and catch some more lift, and you just keep doing that over and over and just keep trying to find lift. It's kind of a game. You got to keep finding it and not run out of lift.
You're like bouncing around on clouds. Wow, that sounds so cool. And all you hear is the sound of the wind blowing by, I guess, because you have no motor and stuff. So do you find it very peaceful and zen-like kind of thing, or?
It's nice, but it gets very hot because it's a dome above us. We don't have any shading, so you must wear your sunscreen and a hat, or else you're going to burn.
Yeah.
So, like, you're sticking your hand up the tiny, like, one
little air scoop on the side.
Trying to get air in there so you don't die of heat.
No AC
in
your
glider. But you don't need
No.
There's not a big enough battery, and if there was, it wouldn't take off.
So at what point do you know, like, okay, I'm done?
Well, it's just like basic flying. If you feel you're uncomfortable or you're unsuited to fly, then you should land the plane.
Well, your instructor guy, he knew it was time to call it. He's like, hey, I got to go. I cannot hold it any longer. But I'm saying, if you don't have the lift... What is there, certain altitude? Like, okay, we got to make our way back to the runway now, kind of thing.
Yeah, we're for us, we do about 1,000 feet is pretty safe, but we can make it at 800 feet. We want to enter the pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And we just kind of plan that out. And the nice thing is, next to the north field, it's basically all farms. So we know that one farm section of square is about 1 mile. And we know that takes 250 feet to get 1 mile. So we're kind of just figuring out how much we have left to get over there and if we'll have enough time to land. So
okay.
It's like,
and that's specific to like any airplane, right? It depends on the type mm-hmm. of glider you're using, which is how big and how long across.
Their glide ratio.
Yep. So what do you have, about a 32 to 1 glide ratio?
Yeah.
Approximately in her airplane. And that works out. You know, some of the advanced sport planes can get as much as a 50 to 1 glide. So they can mm-hmm. go a little bit farther with each foot of altitude. But
yeah. Well, how long across is the wingspan of the glider that you're flying?
What is it, about 60 feet?
Yeah.
It's a 2 meter.
Wow.
Or so 20 meter, I mean. Yeah.
And that's mm-hmm. a 2-seater or what?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2-seater.
Very cool. I want to do this. So you need to get your license, and then you can take me up there.
Well, just come on up, Greg. We'll take you down on a Saturday or Sunday morning. They do training every weekend for the club members, and they would love to take you up for a flight.
Why do you say it like they want to take me up there?
No, I mean, I guess not just you, but anybody.
Okay.
I mean, we get lots of people that come up and
whenever,
want to try it.
Yeah, whenever someone offers me something specific like that, I think I'm getting pumped. They got a plan. All right. Well, great stuff. We got more coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Captain, cabin's ready and doors are closed.
All right, gentlemen, it's time to get high and also fly this old bird. Just a little captain's joke. I never get high when I'm flying unless I mistime the edible. Another captain's joke.
Don't you want to get away to a whole new part you're going to play? Because damn, suddenly we're free to fly. We're going to the other side.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Dennis, navigating the latest aviation news and information. And hopefully flying. Soon, you know, Dennis has this Mooney 201, and the plan is to take it down to the Keys, South Florida for lobster, even the Caribbean, do some stuff over in the Bahamas maybe. And if we do, you know, go out of the country to the Bahamas, which actually would be a shorter trip than going down to Key West, we're going to have to go through customs. And just in the nick of time, it looks like we have more options there. Dennis, you see this about Boca?
I did. I saw Boca Raton. So now we maybe have a little bit less congested airport that we can come back through and clear our customs instead of dealing with Fort Lauderdale Executive or something like that.
Exactly. You know, so I love it. The more smaller airports that give you that customs option, the better. So it looks like they just opened up a new facility there in Boca. $4.5 million was the cost of this 4,400.
Now, how much would it have cost them just to expand that smartphone program? Wouldn't that be cheaper?
Yeah, you would think. But I guess they have to have a place where they can conduct the cavity searches in private, you know. But I don't know. I don't know why it costs what it costs, but evidently that's what it costs to open up this facility at the Boca Raton Airport, you know.
The scary part is that's probably the lowest bidder.
Exactly. Well, it is Boca. So, you know, they have to have a little bit of panache, maybe in that kind of thing. A couple other things.
And, crystal sinks in the bathroom.
Possibly. It could be on the upscale side. Who knows? But a couple other things, though. FAA has been working on some, I don't know, technology that might filter down to commercial carriers. When I was out in California, I was actually hanging with a representative or a friend of mine who works at Boeing. I can't really go much into detail, but he obviously knows airplanes. He helps build them and all that kind of stuff. And we were actually not far from the Boeing plant where we were boating out in Long Beach. And he was just, you know, he brought me up to speed on a couple things. Hey, we're working on a lot of stuff. And, you know, I can't tell you all of it, but some of it came out in press releases. You know, one is sound, but FAA, or no, not an FAA, NASA.
It was NASA.
Yeah, NASA might be beating them to the punch, or who knows who will come out with it first. NASA, government agency, or would it be Boeing or one of the, you know, plane manufacturers? But, you know, that's one of the issues they have, especially, say, in Long Beach. He was telling me at Long Beach International, they can't get any bigger airplanes in there because the community won't allow them. So it's a JetBlue hub, and they'd like to bring in the big, you know, what, 787s, or what's the one bigger than that?
Well, if 787, that's still relatively small, but you're looking at like the 747 or the A380.
Right. Yeah. They talked about bringing in bigger airplanes and more flights and stuff, but the community would not allow it.
Well, for a long time, Long Beach used to had a requirement that they would only allow McDonnell Douglas aircraft in there because that Long Beach, that was their factory.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to have a DC-9s or MD-80s coming in and out of there.
Yeah. Well, they didn't shut down the airplanes. They're keeping them from expanding. So they're working with what they got, and the reasoning they're giving is the noise. They don't want the bigger airplanes and the louder noise and that kind of thing at the airport. Yeah. You know,
so ironically, the bigger airplanes are tending to be a lot quieter.
Well, exactly. That's what I was
thinking. The old DC-9s are really loud by comparison nowadays.
Yeah. And you know, they're working on technology to make them even quieter, and that's what NASA has developed, or they're in the process of, or what?
Yeah, NASA's been doing quite a bit of engineering studies and actual demonstrating on their Gulfstream 3 on ways to quiet the airplane, especially when it's like in the landing configuration. When you've got the gear out and the flaps down, there's a lot of wind that swirls around that airframe, creating a lot of whistles and noises and things like that. And they're looking at ways to clean it up and streamline it, make it more efficient, make it less noisy. And, you know, it's things like gap seals on the flaps and putting, holes and vents in what, like the gear doors and things like that, to make the air flow smoothly around instead of just, you know, basically whipping and whistling.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of interesting because most people think NASA, they first go to, you know, rockets, but NASA's originally started off, you know, making airplanes better. And so it's nice to see that there's still a lot of research and effort being put into that.
Well, what's going to happen when Trump develops the Space Force? Will that be NASA or who knows?
No, who knows? I mean, the Air Force has already got their space division, so right. I don't know if that's going to gain any traction or not.
Well, they're working on it. But you're right. The newer airplanes are actually quieter and more efficient. So, you know, saying we don't want bigger airplanes because they're too noisy is actually not accurate.
It's counterproductive.
Not, yeah, exactly. It's not thinking about it properly. Now, you go from that into Boeing, and, you know, the other thing, not only, you know, efficiency and quietness or, you know, decibels and things are trying to bring that into check. They want it faster, you know, like the Concorde and stuff. The hypersonic flight is coming.
Well, supersonic wasn't good enough. We have to have hypersonic.
Exactly. Sounds way cooler. And they unveiled their, I don't know, prototype or idea for what they see as the future for hypersonic flight from Boeing. And he couldn't tell me about this. That may be the thing he was referring to, that he'd have to kill me or something if he said anything. But it looks really cool. It does have kind of a wing like a like the Concorde. But this
kind of reminded me of the old SR-71 Blackbird, you know, yeah. Kind of a blended body airframe. And if they're getting anywhere near the speeds that that is, I mean, you're looking at, you know, 2-3 hours from L.A. to London.
And eliminating the sonic booms that kept that technology from really rocking it. So hopefully they're making progress. They seem to think they are. We will have to leave it at that for this week. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site for Morbid.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plain Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlainRadio.com.